Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For the midweek meditations in Lent, we have focused on Psalm 41, written by David, written concerning our Christ. Although it was written many years before the birth of Jesus, Psalm 41 speaks history concerning Jesus. During the days of his humiliation, we read in Acts 10, Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Jesus fulfilled where David's words from Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2, blessed is the one who considers the poor. He is called blessed in the land. Jesus was welcomed and loved by the Galilean crowds, not so much by the Jerusalem leaders. Many prominent men opposed him, hated him, conspired against him. This all took place according to what David had prophesied in Psalm 41, verses 5 and 7. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And then in verse 7, they imagine the worst for me. Psalm 41 could also see the Lord's betrayer, Judas Iscariot, coming. The psalm said in our Lord's voice, and our Lord even quoted the psalm on the night he was betrayed, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Our gospel readings today bring us to the death of our Lord and to these prophetic words from Psalm 41:10. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. When the scriptures speak about lifting up or raising up as they do in this psalm, the first thing that often comes to mind is God's miraculous power of resurrection, by which he makes the dead come to life. Going back one psalm to Psalm 40, it's written, he drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. To this, Paul added in Ephesians, God raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. Sometimes, when the scripture speak about raising up, they are not talking about life, but they are talking about death. In particular, raising up can be a reference to our Lord's death on the cross. Throughout John's gospel, for example, Jesus repeatedly used lifting up and raising up in reference to his cross and death. In the third chapter of John, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Those words do not speak about our Lord's resurrection, but rather his death on the cross. In the same way that the bronze serpent was raised up on the pole for the healing of the rebellious people of Israel, so Jesus was likewise suspended above the earth for the healing of the nations. Jesus said in a similar thing in the 8th chapter of John, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. There again, the lifting up or raising up of which our Lord spoke was a reference to his crucifixion. This lifting was in keeping with the words of the prophet Isaiah. He will be raised and lifted up. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations. What happened when the Lord Jesus was lifted up from the earth and suspended upon his cross? Jesus explained in John chapter 12, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, he said, will draw all people to myself. Once again, speaking about his death for the sins of the world, for the sins that you have, for the sins that I have. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up. Here in Psalm 41, as in other passages, the reference to raising up is not so much a reference to our Lord's resurrection as it is to his death on the cross. Raise me up that I may repay them. For what purpose was the Lord therefore lifted up, according to this psalm, that I may repay them? Repay whom? Jesus wanted to be raised up on his cross to repay those who plotted evil against him. To be raised up on his cross to repay those who spoke evil concerning him. To be raised up on his cross to repay those who imagined the worst for him and who said in malice, "When will he die and his name perish?" To our human ears and our human brain, this is a strange way of speaking. Doesn't sound right. The Lord our God has worked his vengeance against his enemies in a manner that is totally unlike all the ways that we humans like to work our vengeance. For example, the kings of this world work their vengeance by sending out armies against those who plot against them. Saul required from David a terrible and weighty bride price, requiring that it be cut from the Philistines, that he may be avenged of the king's enemies. Take a read of 1 Samuel 18:25. You will fully understand the terrible and weighty price demanded by Saul. When Jesus told his parable of the tenants in Matthew 21, even his enemies knew that the master of the house would be within his rights to put those wretches to a miserable death and let them out of the vineyard to other tenants. Like the kings of the earth, you and I equally use revenge against those who have wronged us. Even little children understand the idea of payback. Adults are usually more able to hide what they do, more subtle. That's why we have sayings like the sweet taste of revenge. Revenge is a dish best served cold. But not so with our Lord, where we humans would prefer to work our vengeance in acts against others. The Lord of hosts preferred to execute judgment against his Son. Our God was so adamant about cleansing the sin of the entire world, so preoccupied with your salvation, that even the vengeance he sought against his enemies was self-inflicted. But you, O Lord, raise me up that I may repay them. In answer to that prayer, God the Father lifted up his Son to death. And in Philippians 2:8, even death on a cross. The death of Jesus, our Lord, was indeed divine vengeance over every enemy, including death itself. The death of Jesus, our Lord, was therefore not the triumph of his enemies over him. When the soldiers at the cross saw the earthquake and what took place, it is recorded in Holy Scriptures. They were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." This happened in keeping with David's prophecy in Psalm 41, written in the voice of Jesus. "By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me." Even though the enemies of God enjoyed the sight of his death, their enjoyment was but momentary. So eclipsed and devastating that momentary victory was by the power of his resurrection on Easter Day. The hard and painful truth: we must be exceedingly careful and mindfully faithful when we think of our enemies. Jesus died. Jesus died upon the cross. All vengeance was worked by God upon the cross. That is why our Heavenly Father now graciously forbids us to seek vengeance. Our acts of revenge are nothing more than less than denials of the Christ and his death. You were joined in baptism to the death of Christ, according to the words of Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. And again, Paul said, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Because Psalm 41 speaks about Jesus, it speaks likewise about you. Therefore, these words are your words. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. What does that really mean? They mean that you and I, along with Jesus, have already been raised up on the cross. We, like Jesus, already have our losses and injustices avenged in his blood. In the death of Christ, all vengeance has been worked out by God. When we seek revenge upon our enemies, our desire for revenge becomes a denial of the cross and the rejection of the atonement that's already been worked out. Deuteronomy 32, 35, or Romans 12, 19, God said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. That is why our Lord Jesus taught us, do not resist the one who is evil, but if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other. That is why the Apostle Paul added, the Lord is an avenger in all these things. Shall the Lord our God work vengeance for us on the last day when Christ Jesus our Lord returns to judge both the living and the dead? Yes and amen. That is why there are Christian martyrs who even now plead with God for his victorious return, that he might avenge their blood. We do not need to think of our Lord's vengeance on the last day as something separate from his cross. The last day, rather, is the culmination and the full flowering of that which was completely worked out for us on the cross. The blood of God's saints will one day be avenged, we're told in Revelation 6:10, because Jesus was raised up on the cross to work God's vengeance. The death of God's saints is precious in his sight because Jesus of Nazareth bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Every injustice you have suffered, along with every injustice you have ever perpetrated, finds its fulfillment in satisfaction in these words. O Lord, be gracious to me and raise me up that I may repay them. Amen and amen. Yes, it shall be so. Please rise as you are able as we confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.